Hey guys, welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I'm your host, David C. Robertson, and this, the original Atom Smasher, Jason.
Hello.
Alright, so this is going to be a news episode. We didn't have a lot, and then some stuff dropped because of the New York Comic-Con, so here we go. Just going to do some quick animated bits real quick. Warner Brothers has apparently given permission to make Killing Joke R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not confirmed. That doesn't mean it's going to be R-rated. It's just they're just saying that they have permission to make it R-rated.
Right.
So,
I mean, the people directing it could theoretically decide to make editorial choices that would ruin one of the greatest graphic novels of all time, but we can hope they don't.
Well, I personally don't think that there's anything in the original graphic novel that is so integral that makes it where it has to be R-rated. Like you pointed out to me earlier, there was like there's a shot of Commissioner Gordon's dick.
It's just like a it's like a slanting, like a side. You know it's there. You know what that little squiggle's doing.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily.
And he's kind of being like led by one of the sticks they use for, I guess, animal control. I don't know what those are called. But he's like being led in it. It's a very graphic kind of scene. Like I'm almost sure you could show like the back of an old man ass and maybe still get away with PG-13 under the right circumstances. Mm-hmm. But showing the back of old man ass in a quasi-bondage torture situation just probably too far.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how exactly they rate those things. In fact, I've watched a movie some years ago talking about how they don't... No one really knows how anybody rates these things.
No. No, they don't.
So...
I like to think it's the computer from the Twilight Zone episode. That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I suspect that it won't really matter either way. And I don't feel like a PG-13 will. I mean, there's no cursing to speak of, really. And
I don't
Killing
really
Joke.
Remember there being any. I don't know if there's any in there. But there is.
It insinuates
sexual violence, which may be more than PG-13 was willing to deal with as well.
And if they take liberties with that and actually show that, that's going to be gratuitous, and they're going to have all manner of people on their asses.
Yeah, that's even one where that story's good enough with just the insinuation. You don't need to put it in there. It clearly does the job without it.
Now, my primary question is, how do they end it? Are they going to kill?
Yeah.
Have Batman kill the Joker, or are they going to have him not? Or are they going to leave it as ambiguous as the actual book?
That's what we discussed last time. Yeah. Is like, do you want to? I want to see if they actually, if a Foley artist somewhere is in charge of. I want to see if they put a crack sound in, because this is animated. There's no fake. There's no nothing. Isn't everything's thought out? So there's going to be a person in charge of that sound effect if there's a crack at the end. It'll be deliberate.
Well, there wasn't a crack in the novel. So
yeah, it's just it's thought that that's kind of how it went down. So if they leave it just as it is, could be.
So yeah. Anyway, Cartoon Network did confirm that a new Justice League cartoon is in production and is going to appear in fall of 2006.
2016.
We don't have any. Yeah, sorry, 2016.
Woo. You were daydreaming about a much better series that you miss and remember well.
Right. Back when I was spry and limber.
A youngling, really?
Nah, I was actually always like this. I remember being 12 and going, my back hurts, Mom.
Right.
Do you think
they were probably hoping to hold that in their pocket a little bit longer than they ended up being able to? Is it?
I mean, they just ignored what Reddit was talking about and then announced it recently. I mean, you know, I don't think they cared.
I just wondered. I mean, it was very clear they had something planned. There was no, like, it was actually a pretty damning evidence that, you've got a show coming.
Right.
Pants were down. Hand was in the cookie jar.
Now, let's see. You know, I don't think we've talked about this, and I think it started happening a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot to mention it, but more stuff has happened, so we'll just lump it all in. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers has started a viral campaign for LexCorp.
Right.
For the Batman vs. Superman stuff. And Lex Luthor now has a Twitter account. Fortune Magazine did an interview with Lex Luthor where he talks about why his company does military contracts, unlike his rival Bruce Wayne. He talks about his dad being an immigrant. He talks about all sorts of stuff, like East German immigrant. There's not a lot of like plot or anything. There's not a lot of like, but we do find out that he is Lex Luthor Jr. Like he's a very and they released a new LexCorp promo. For the Lex iOS or Lex OS or something.
It was like Lex operating system.
Yeah. It offers more privacy than any other operating system.
Right. The most secure operating system. It reminded me of like Better Off Ted. Mm-hmm. It was like a Viridian Dynamics promo somewhere. It's really kind of extremely lame. I don't know how else to summarize it. There's nothing really in it. It's just, like, I watched the entire thing and thought, seriously, someone spent time making this?
I know. But, you know, one of the things I did kind of think was cool is at the New York Comic Con, apparently if you went and you looked at your Wi-Fi, it would say that there was the one Wi-Fi signal that was open was the LexCorp Wi-Fi, and they had videos talking about, feel free to partake of our free Wi-Fi service, visit the LexCorp booth to receive your free mobile charging device, and it's like a little USB charger.
I did see that. It's like it's the back of like an iPhone charger or something. If I was at a Comic Con and they were playing that in the background, and my Wi-Fi said LexCorp, okay, that makes sense. That's kind of funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. But outside of that context, it's just. A minute I'd take back.
Yeah. Seems to be a lot of money spent for not a whole lot.
Right. Do you wonder, maybe they just didn't have time in doing the movie to really flesh out Lex Luthor, so they're giving him a little bit more time and even got him like an interview with somebody. Or try to...
I don't know. I mean,
apparently they're working overtime trying to jam Batman into as many scenes as they can. Maybe they...
I hope it's not that. I hope it's not that. I have so much hope for
him. He's going to end up being like, they're going to be in the middle of a scene, and it's one he's not supposed to be in, and he's going to be like the little whoopee character just popping in from side frame. Hey, I'm still here. And going.
Yeah. They did an interview with the guy that did the costume designs for Batman vs. Superman, and apparently he points out that there is Kryptonian language. That Zack Snyder wanted like Kryptonian language, I guess, meshed into the pattern of the Superman suit, and he had like this some sort of phrase, and the dude wouldn't say what it was. He says it's in the script, and they're going to talk about it, but it's something about having great power and the responsibility that comes along with it. I'm like, Zack Snyder's ripping off Spider-Man?
Yeah. Apparently, Krypton had back issues of Spider-Man.
Right. Jor-El was a big fan of Uncle Ben.
He really was.
And
that's they aimed specifically at the Kent farm, asking themselves beforehand, which family do we think sounds most like Uncle Ben?
Right.
How about Pa Kent? Let's do him. Okay.
Now I don't remember if we talked about this, but did we actually talk about the little nugget that Ezra Miller's suit is going to be armored and tech based?
No, and
that's all we know about it.
Yeah, I didn't really see that come out till this week, so I hadn't been on the docket.
I think it came out last week, and I don't...
Well, check my phrasing. I didn't see that come out until this week. It frightened me. For a second, my heart sank, because I thought they were going to make his suit a technology-based speed, and that would completely probably ruin that movie for me.
Time to recoup the cost on that Superman outfit from Superman Lives,
right,
buddy.
I think it's still somewhere. You could auction that thing for more money than you probably spent on the film.
Right.
Nicolas Cage would buy it with his last scratched penny. Doesn't manage his last scratched penny. The suit kind of thing. Hopefully, they just mean exactly what they're saying. It's armor and technology that keeps him from dying when he goes that fast. I can deal with that.
Right.
Right. I mean, they've kind of, you know, even Cisco's helping me out on that kind of thing. They talk about what happens with this. Like, even the Flash 90 series talked about why they needed to reinforce his body in certain places. And I've heard a lot of, there's a lot of cool things about when the Flash carries people around, he kind of has to, like, put his hand behind their neck or he'll just snap their head. When they talk about the actual effects of speed, I can deal with stuff. But, God, if they, if that's worse than it sounds, we're in trouble.
You know, I feel terrible for saying this, but now that you mention it, I kind of would be curious to see Christopher Nolan's Flash movie. Where he's the Flash for 2.5 weeks, and his joints are just destroyed. All of the cartilage is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes bald after the first run because it just singed his hair and follicle sets. He was never able to regrow any of his body hair.
Right. He doesn't actually wear a suit. It's just like the color of his skin now.
Right.
He's just got a perpetual sunburn.
And, you know, having already done a modern world, he would want to make like a steampunk Flash.
Right. Of course.
It would be set in 1889. And yeah, it would. He would be fighting like the Hellfire Club or some shit.
Yeah.
Because in the late 1800s, the only available villains were Jack the Ripper and any version of Masonry, apparently.
All right. You want to get these sizzle reels?
Yes. Let's do something we're actually excited about. Let's do some sizzle reels.
All right. Let's start out with the Arrow sizzle reel. Now, they showed these things at the New York Comic Con, and about half of all of them are like the first couple of episodes that we've already seen.
Right.
So I don't know what the point of that was, but anyway, what would you say are the things in the Arrow sizzle reel that got you really excited? The things that we hadn't seen yet.
I only got to watch it once. I didn't get to do the quick deconstruction. I was a little excited about the one shot that I think other people were getting a little hyped up about of Dark looks like he's about to take off the hood. That would be cool. I would actually like it a lot more if if that's a fake out and what Dark really does is start to lift up the hood and then say, oh, I'm just kidding. I know you're Oliver Queen. I mean, you sent out that video. What, you didn't do any of the lighting adjustment? Like, you couldn't have made it? I mean, come on. We all know who you are.
Right.
And he's actually kind of flippant in a way that he could get away with doing that.
There was a really fun shot in the sizzle reel where Echo Kellum's character, Mr. Terrific, puts his hand up over Oliver's eyes and goes, no, the jaw's all wrong. And Oliver goes, I keep telling people that.
Right. Felicity looks genuinely worried for a second. She's...
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Damian Dark looks really cool.
He's, so far, really the most exciting thing. Now, it showed John Barrowman, which is good. Yeah. I would like him back as soon as possible, please.
I'm good with... Because where John Barrowman is concerned at this point, we're going to get the League of Assassins, and I'm just so tired of them. But I know, like... It's going to be like episode 3, probably, I would assume, where Laurel decides to take Sarah back to the Lazarus Pit, and episode 4 where she actually does it. So,
I mean, I was hoping we'll they kind of we'll got the League though. Stuff out of the way before we brought Constantine on, because I don't want the Constantine episode to do anything other than focus on Constantine.
I understand that.
You know where my heart is, right? You know,
yeah, I know. I know where your heart is. And hopefully, like, I did read that they were talking about having season 4 be thematic with, share a common themes with Constantine. And I'm really hoping what that is, what they're talking about there is the magic having costs.
Right. That ended up being your favorite take out of the series, I think, in Constantine. That they stayed true to it, really, was the impressive part.
That was one of my favorite things in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, too.
Good point.
Like, they did that really well over there as well. So, and of course, no one accentuated it better than Spike. Can you guess why I like Constantine so much?
You like British guys without turned collars.
I have a type. Much. And have blonde hair. I have a type.
And dusters. Dusters never hurt anybody.
And apparently like Billy Idol. I don't, you know, I'm just saying.
With a punk background.
Right. So, yeah. You know, I didn't really see a whole lot of new stuff. There was some Vandal Savage stuff. We actually did see Vandal Savage for a second over in the Arrow sizzle reel.
Yeah. I mean, enough to know that he's out there and what he's going to look like when they're dressed, when he's dressed. That's about it.
Yeah.
A lot of more fun stuff with Garrick. I did like just the little bitty bits of Garrick kind of in his natural environment. being the Flash. That was pretty good.
Are we on the Flash as a rule now?
Oh no, I just went. I went through Vandal Savage, Jay Garrick Road, really quickly. I watched them all at once. They all got together on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Flash, we can go ahead and do this as a rule on that.
Nah. I mean, Arrows didn't actually have that much in it to me.
It really didn't.
I did kind of like that they went through and gave everyone a theme, like Lance. There's a voiceover of Lance saying, like, we've all done stuff we didn't want to do. I forget the line, but it was...
And he's, like, yelling at, assumedly, Damian Dark that he's out.
Yeah.
He's all the way out, which...
Good luck.
That's probably not going to end well
for
him.
Good luck with that, buddy. I mean...
So...
I don't know.
But yeah, so...
But yeah, like, I did like them going back for that, and I did like just seeing Lance... or hearing Lance be distressed about it. It would have been really as boring as it's going to be to see Lance try to get himself out of that. And I say boring just because Lance at this point has nothing to offer me. He's just, I don't know what they're doing with him. I mean, he's apparently his heart's fine now, I guess. I mean, he got shot in the last episode and didn't go reaching for a barrel of pills. So hopefully he's okay.
I'm hoping that, you know, it probably wasn't us, but, you know, I'm hoping that somewhere read something from a number of fans who were tired of seeing Lance grab for pills every 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's doing the, like, he's doing the fucking Sanford and Son bit, wasn't he? Oh, I'm coming home. Right.
With an arrow in one hand and a mint jipple in the other.
Right.
I'm coming, Donna. I'm coming home.
Right.
She's still alive.
I'm gonna go make a home. Join me later. I'll get dinner ready at the home. Yeah, I was getting bored as all hell with that, and just
now I just kind of really, because they have that speech again in the sizzle trailer where he's like, you know, you inspired monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just want in the actual episode for him to be like, you dummy.
That would be good. He,
you big dummy.
He was terrible. He's been terrible. He's just been blubbering about his daughter.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Sure, we all get it. You lost your daughter. And you didn't even know. And the other one lied. And all that. But hopefully we have learned. Okay, first of all, in that first episode, he gets shot and you know, his heart didn't explode. So maybe that's done with. No mention of his drinking, I think, during that episode. That was good.
Right.
Or laurels. Also good steps. I mean, we've played that story as long as it can go. And then...
I am almost certain that there have been Baptist preachers whose daughters went into porn who had less of a terrible reaction than Quentin Lance has had about any number of things that either of his daughters have done.
He has not been well-stilled in his reactions. No, 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 no. He's lacked poise. To put it very,
just
very mildly.
Clutching his heart, guzzling booze. Oh, man.
And the worst part about it was...
a train wreck of a character.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And he really does. He's reminding me of Daffy Duck a lot because he sounds like him. But he, you know, just the episodes where Daffy actually tries to get bugs. That's what it tends to remind me of.
Yeah, he's like a cross between Daffy and Bullock. Daffy Bullock.
Right. But they haven't done anything interesting with him because he's pining over his daughter.
Anyway.
We know he knows who the arrow was, and we think he knows what the score is now. But he's never really had an agenda within the team. And the show's about a bunch of vigilantes helping a city, and he's just the guy who can't decide whether he likes them or not, and sits on the perimeter of the entire of the action. He's
right. Now,
run out
if
of things
they made it
to
where
do.
If they made it a thing where he actually does decide that he's on Team Arrow. Like they did before.
Yeah.
And it sticks.
Now we're talking.
I'm good.
Now,
I'm good.
Yeah, now we're like, rolling.
Because he actually was intriguing for a minute when he's running around with the arrow trying to stop the doll maker.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it was. So I'm like, okay, cool. But, you know, if we get like a Batman Commissioner Gordon situation out of this.
I mean, I liked him getting phone calls and, you know, going to help. And that was fun. But then he went back to the whole, oh my God, my daughter. Oh my God, my daughter lied to me. And then they summed up all of the problems that they were having for like the last half of the freaking season with what was it, like a one-liner? They just basically went, oh yeah, and we're done with that now, and moved on. And it was perfect.
Yep.
That was a, it's not even getting an A, that's getting a C, and that's as good as you deserved.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
All right. So Flash?
All right, do you want to actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was going for. Let's do this. Oh, man. So we get a little bit of Patty Spivot.
Right.
We actually do get a couple of glimpses of Earth 2. Looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, though, we get some close-up shots of Zoom.
Yep.
And he kind of looks awful.
A little bit. Well, not really. I can deal with it. They're doing this. It looks like they're doing the same kind of effect they used for Reverse Flash. Just a constantly buzzing picture. And I don't know. I dug it. And as we predicted, the voice sounds amazing.
It does. But one of my issues, though, so far is that it seems like his only real motivation is that he wants to be the only speedster.
That's what they say is, yeah, he just wants to eliminate all other speedsters.
Yeah.
I immediately, my take on it, or my guess was, oh yeah, if you eliminate all the other speedsters, you're the most powerful being in the universe. In several universes, apparently now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously you should eliminate anyone who can match your skill set and then rule the world.
Mm-hmm. There's a fun little bit where he tells Barry that heroes die.
Mm-hmm. And
Barry says, you have to catch them first. Runs off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I enjoyed that a little bit. More than that, I just liked how kind of casually brave he is at this point. He's almost like Zoom standing there, presumably menacing. And, dude, Barry's demeanor is kind of like a, dude, what? What the fuck? What the hell do you want, man?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not terribly interested in the whole I want to be the only speedster idea, but...
As a step one, it's fine. That depends on where you come from. They have to give me more than, well, why is Zoom evil? Because he's killing people. Why is he killing people? Because he needs to kill all the speedsters. Why is he killing any speedsters? Because he needs to kill all the speedsters. I don't understand. If that's as far as we go, there's going to be a problem.
Right. I am now with Zoom, and this being his arc or his motivation, I'm a little worried that he and Damian Dark, I mean, that just like the team, the writing team is just going like, let's just make him for evil's sake. Do we have to come up with a reason?
I mean, actually, though.
God, it's hard.
No.
Writing is hard.
At this point, that would be okay, especially if you went to Arrow. Like, yeah, I could accept that. I mean, you've come up with other villains with other purposes, and they were kind of give and take.
Right.
Could have been better.
Okay.
So just do evil for the fuck of it now. Try that out. See if that sticks.
Yeah. So we did. We got introduced to Hot Girl in this trailer. Not much of an introduction. She said her name.
Right. They literally let her introduce herself.
All right.
And I mean, they kind of just turned and went, and she'll be here, and then went back to images of people hitting people.
Yeah. Right.
More assassins sent after Barry. That's actually what I'm really excited about. I'm not so much excited that Zoom's coming. I mean, he is, and that sounds pretty fantastic. But I'm more excited that he's decided to kill Barry by sending in assassin after assassin.
Yeah.
Which, you got to admit, is going to get old after a minute. You know, he's already sent...
Yeah.
After he sends like three or four in, you kind of go, okay, this is going to have to be I'm going to have to take care of this myself.
It was like when I was a kid, I used to watch the Power Rangers, and every week I wondered why Lord Zedd didn't just go down to Earth and destroy them himself.
Right. Wouldn't that be simpler?
It seems like it would be, because it seems like he'd be pretty powerful.
Starts with Lord. Usually they're pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he would always say stuff like, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. And then he just goes and makes another monster himself instead of having Finster do it. I'm just confused.
Yeah, it was...
So I don't, you know...
That part was bizarre. Like, it'll be a fun premise for a few episodes while they get some other stuff set up on the expositional train. Right. While they get the set pieces where they need them. Because they're going to be kind of, you know, talking Jay Garrick into the world. And we're going to be introducing Patty Spivot while we're at it. And... You know, we're going to give you a little bit of a story about where Barry and the team are right now. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Cisco's not completely human. And they're going to need something to distract during the process. So, who are we getting?
So,
like,
was there anything else in the...
Who all the character? Who all the villains are they sending out? What'd you say his name was? Sand something?
Sand Demon.
Yeah, Sand Demon. He was completely... I got nothing on him.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on him, honestly.
Yeah,
but,
he just looks like Sandman.
Was there anything in particular, anything else that you wanted to talk about on this Flash sizzle reel?
Not particularly, no.
All right. You want to jump over to Gotham?
Mm. No, they did. Oh, they did the same thing with Hot Girl, though, didn't they? Oh, yeah, and she'll be here.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's just a moment in the reel where they're like, and everyone introduce yourself.
Right.
Yeah, let's hit Gotham. Let's hit up Jally McJallerson the fourth.
Yeah, so the only real new footage we get is really pretty much mostly just Michael Chiklis coming in and like firing every damn body.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I liked his speech. He's kind of a badass.
I thought he was.
Already. I thought he was a lot of fun.
His demeanor needs a little bit of fleshing out. But because it felt a little weird, to be honest. It seemed a little forced on a couple of lines. But I think he's going to flesh out really well. Like, I can at least do this. I've stated how I feel about Chiklis. It's not his fault. Just chemical disturbance between me and him. I don't understand. And I might be able to get over it. I might just.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked what he did so far. I mean,
pulls everybody in a line, starts throwing their file at him. Racketeering, bribery, drug abuse. Sons of bitches, you're fired.
I did like that line a lot. He just stops naming crimes and screams, just, sons of bitches. Get out. And what was cool about it is he actually does address problems that we had. If you go back and listen to our review, he addresses problems we had where he talks about, this is a police station. You let these criminals just waltz in here and start killing your
ex-con. An escape convict walk in.
He was like, you should all be angry and ashamed. Anyone who's not angry and ashamed, speak up right now because you don't deserve to be a police officer. And no one speaks up. And he's like, some of you are lying.
Right.
I've read your files. If you hear your name,
How much did you expect for a second? He kind of looks at everybody. You can tell he's going to be one of those like, dude, clean yourself the fuck up. Like, Bullet, go shave. You know, you expect him to say that at some point. Like, how much did you, when he says like, is anyone here or are you ashamed? I fully expected Gordon to growl yes. You know, I fully expected that, but he didn't.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all. I just expected Jim Gordon to stand there and look angry.
It even flashed to him, and for a second I thought, yeah, oh, okay. And
but yeah,
back to the jowls.
I had a lot of fun with it, man. I had a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to him. Now, was there anything else in the Gotham sizzle reel that really stood out to you?
How much I missed Jerome already.
I can't think of anything. How much you missed Jerome already.
They made me watch him die again, Dave. Buddy. I didn't want to watch him die again.
I know. All right. Well, I am going to move on to news if you don't have anything else on the sizzle reels.
No, got nothing.
We'll throw links to them up in the show notes, and you can go check those out on our website. So I'm going to move back to Arrow real quick and talk about some news. Now, I have recently decided that I believe the person in the grave at the end of that first episode is going to be Oliver's baby mama. I can't remember her name is. Whatever Hawk.
Something Hawk.
But then, it did occur to me that it might be this new character, this flashback character that Oliver's going to have a love affair with, played by Alicia Rotaru, I guess her name is.
Right.
And here was something that Mark Guggenheim said about her character. He says, Oliver is going to have a love interest in the past that will serve as a parallel or potentially a contrast to his love affair with Felicity in the present.
Right.
The flashbacks are also where Oliver will encounter supernatural events that science cannot explain. These events will play a pivotal role in the show's ongoing present story involving Thea and Damian Dark.
They've already told us that.
Seems to indicate.
We knew that when he said, I've seen things.
I really hope they're not just going to introduce a love interest in the past and then have her die.
But,
like, you know,
there is like at least as much credibility for that theory as there is any other thing.
And as soon as I said it, because we were talking about this before the show started,
right.
As soon as I said it, that it could be her, I had this terrible sinking feeling that that's who it's going to be.
Yeah, I kind of heard the thought rattling off and I had the same feeling. I really did. Because it seems, well, I called you all excited because some, and this is a someone else's take entirely that we're ripping off, but they pointed out, whomever they are,
right,
somewhere out on the internet, being good at their, being better at observation than us.
Right.
Felicity's Jewish, and those are flowers around the gravestone, not stones. That's a Jewish custom, is you actually place stones. Mark Guggenheim, Jewish. I think it was Mark.
Right.
Same person pointed out that one of the main producers is Jewish. So presumably that's something that they've got, you know, in their knowledge basket and wouldn't fuck up.
Right.
Also, too damn obvious. Come on. Just too damn obvious.
Right. And, you know, I read something else on the internet and it was pointing out all these things like, it can't be any of the lances because it doesn't look like any of, it doesn't look like the same place where Sarah was buried.
Although,
and families generally get buried together.
They do. In the same, but cemeteries have a way of looking different.
Cemetery. That's true. But it doesn't, it totally doesn't look like the cemetery behind Queen Mansion.
No.
So, can't be Thea.
No, and we knew, all right, so it, the cemetery behind Queen Mansion, maybe not Thea, I can get behind that. And people saying that it can't be Thea because she's already been killed. Well, check your cast list. I'm pretty sure she's still there.
Right.
That doesn't qualify. It, first of all, they've said that this death is going to stick. So,
They have.
Thea's a perfectly good choice to me.
Thea's a good, a perfectly good choice if we weren't just going to have to deal with her dying all over again.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, the lances, you have to admit all of them are out. You know, we think that he would, you know, sit there and shed a tear for Quentin, and we know he probably would get there and shed a few tears for Laurel. We know Barry would just come be, you know, a good friend anyway.
Right.
So no big deal there. But the big thing, like, me and you personally have ruled out any of the lances based on the theory that if it was any one lance under the ground, you wouldn't be able to remove the other lances from the area above the ground.
Right.
So if it was like Quentin, then Laurel, no doubt, would be sitting there in one of his, like, fucking jackets, just staring at the grave in the middle of the night, drunk on half a glass of wine. And
right. There would have to be an entire scene beforehand where Oliver pries the bottle out of his one good hand, the other being clenched around his heart firmly.
Right. And yeah, if it's Laurel that actually dies, which, don't get me wrong, she's a vacuum of story right now. She's a narrative wasteland.
Yeah.
So killing her might be about all that you could get until you give her something to fucking do. So we could get behind that. I would even be able to sacrifice Black Canary. I'd even be able to go
down
that road.
And by the way, I want to point out, we're not just being mean about Laurel. This is something the writers and producers have admitted. They've admitted that they had certain plans for Laurel, and then those fell through, and they didn't know what to do with her, so they just kind of made her Black Canary as fast as possible to make her do something.
Right.
I mean, they don't know what they are doing with Laurel.
Keep
they
thinking
no
they're
going
to try something. It keeps kind of not working well enough, and then they just move on to things that are working.
And if they were here right now, they would be like, well, we didn't say that, but that would be bullshit. Because that's exactly what
they
said.
And we would be able to happily tell them, you didn't have to say it.
In a very PR kind of way, they said
it. Yeah, said it. You said it as much as you could say it. But yeah, and if it was Laurel that was somehow dead, Quentin would. There's no way. Like, the big part is that we're talking about Oliver still in funeral garb, hanging out at the site after everyone's gone, and Quentin would not leave that tombstone for 2 weeks. He'd just sit there and blubber, just Laurel, just over and over again,
with slight intermittent Sarah,
right,
Laurel,
right. And you know who wouldn't come back to save him? Dinah Lance, because for some reason they're not doing anything with her.
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't understand.
She's not that busy.
All right. Now, this is sort of, this is interesting. I think it's really interesting. Apparently, Neil McDonough is going to be playing Damian Dark, not just on Arrow, but he's going to pop over to The Flash.
Awesome.
And he's also going to be in Legends of Tomorrow.
Nice.
Now, this is what he had to say about it, and he might have a slip-up, because I doubt they're going to be calling themselves the Legends of Tomorrow, but Neil McDonough said, you go back to the League, and then he stops. And he says, I did an episode of Legends last week, and I look exactly the same in 1975. but you see he's not as confident and doesn't have such an agenda 40 years ago as he does now. So it's fun to play the different times, you know, going back in time with Legends and The Flash. With The Flash, I'm just this crazy, fun, enjoy everything while I kill everybody type of character.
Uh-huh.
It's just nuts. I'm enjoying the power that I have because it's my time. It's not Savage's time. It's not Ra's al Ghul's time. It's Damian Dark's time.
I even like how he talks about his character being evil.
Right?
Oh, man, he's exciting. He really is.
In less interesting news, Teddy Sears.
Anything involving a slip of the word, the leak, I mean, not a thing I right. said.
Right.
Flipper hands.
So Teddy Sears says that he and Caitlin will be getting very comfortable with each other because she just, you know, lost her fiancé. He's like stranger in a strange land, and they'll be, you know, hanging out a lot. He says he doesn't know if it's going to be going deeper than that, as in like a romantic relationship or anything. He doesn't know if Jay and Caitlin will get together, but
I really hope not. It kind of would take way too much out of, you know.
However,
the sacrifice
in the interview, ending. Yeah,
I mean, she's been mourning off screen. Apparently, we haven't seen her mourn, but I'd kind of like to see like a little bit of bereavement before she comes back.
Yeah, in the interview, the interviewer asks him what if they did get together or. What he thinks that the shippers on the internet will call them, and he says he doesn't know, but he wouldn't have any control over it anyway. But
Caitlin, that's all.
the idea that comes out is Snow Jay.
that's just a weird extinct bird. That's all that is.
Yeah, they talked about how dirty it actually does kind of sound.
It really does.
I just thought that was funny.
North Canadian blowjob.
Yeah, so,
oh, yeah, Snow Jay.
One more bit I have on The Flash, and let me know if you have any more news on that. Mark Hamill was recently spotted on the set of The Flash. Lots of conjecture that he'll be back as the Trickster.
It's confirmed now.
Is it confirmed? Yeah. Because I saw it was confirmed, and then it turned out it was just the rumor.
Nah, Hamill himself confirmed it via tweet.
Oh,
which is where
cool.
things get confirmed these days, in case you didn't...
Well, you know,
nothing's worth confirming unless it's 140 characters or less. I don't know. He yeah, really did, though.
Good,
he popped
that's
in.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Next week, the news episode will be 45 seconds long.
Things are happening in scene.
So I'm going to...
Anyway, yeah, he confirmed he'd be back. I think he had some joke in there about apparently this was... not supposed to be out, but hey, since it's already out, blah, 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 that kind of thing. I think he said, does
okay,
saying
cool.
whoops count
cool.
as an apology? Because whoops. Or
yeah,
actually, his.
I'm good.
What was his comment? Like, yeah, I know there's all this stuff about set urgency, but really, you never say no to a selfie. There he is. It's a selfie of him, like, standing there with the Trickster haircut in a prison with little cartoonish, childlike drawings of
wow.
the Flash in, you know, with harm coming to him. And there's some lucky guy, whoever he is, lucky guy standing there with like a photo of the, it looked like a reprint of the cover of Killing Joke, or it could just be his personal copy.
That's awesome.
Standing there happy as he could damn be. But yeah,
of course.
This was, dude's in uniform in a prison. He's happening. Just a matter of episode.
Yeah. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm completely straight, but Mark Hamill is one of those that I might actually reluctantly give it up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead and turn in your card.
He's the Joker.
Yeah.
He's the Joker.
And a Trickster.
And the Trickster.
And a Midnight Joker, probably.
Oh, God. I hope so. Because I would need a lot of weed for that to actually go through.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to pop over to Gotham news. A few weeks ago, the dude that plays Penguin. What is his name? Robin Lloyd Taylor, that's
you.
It.
I keep mixing up him and Enigma's name.
Corey Michael Smith.
Yeah, do you need six names for two people? Damn it, guys.
I don't know. And, you know, maybe because serial killers generally have three names.
There's a habit to that, yeah. Or at least
maybe they're
really
just, you
strong
know,
inside abbreviation.
Maybe one of the reasons that Gotham did such a good job with casting is because they're just actually employing serial killers.
Right.
But
in about 4 years, when all the news breaks, this is going to be huge. Now,
Robin Lloyd
for
Taylor.
Having six names, at least I could appreciate they gave us six names we can pronounce.
Right. Robin Lloyd Taylor a few weeks ago said that he would love for Paul Reubens to play his dad, and now we have confirmation that Paul Reubens is, in fact, going to reprise his role as Papa Cobblepot.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most people listening to this podcast will remember that he briefly played Penguin's father in Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Robin Lloyd Taylor also said that in response to Marilyn Manson playing a character on Gotham, he said, yes, yes, a million times yes.
That's pretty much what I said. That's where I was with it. I'm on board.
I'm not.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Tell
you what, you don't have to see his face. Let him come be Hush.
I am not on board.
Aww.
Anyway, speaking of things that I'm not completely on board with, a lot of people have been, worried that Corey Michael Smith's Ednigma hasn't been given a lot of screen time in the last couple episodes. And Corey Michael Smith actually said, for a very long time, I will be in every episode. I'll certainly be present, but episodes 4, 6, and 7 are massive for me.
Wow. You rarely get episode numbers from people. Thanks, Corey.
Yeah. He says, we will be going to my house. It's pretty badass. I'm a little biased because it's my apartment, but it's really awesome. They went all out. It's super kitschy and creative. There's so many little details that are so Enigma, like the placemats are bubble wrap. The kitchen is filled with tools for gastronomy. It's amazing, really clever, and totally within the aesthetic realm of Gotham, which to me sounds like it's got to be a cartoon. It's got to be a cartoon. It's got to be a cartoon. It's going to be a cartoon.
Oh, I got nothing like that. No, they can totally pull off a weird little kitschy.
Eh, maybe.
Nah, man, they can do basically whatever they want with me. And at this point, all we really know is that he's, a strangely adjusted guy with some OCD issues and a burgeoning extra personality.
All right, let me explain it to you like this. That scene from the last episode of Gotham where they kill off Jerome and all the people are laughing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was the moment in like Firefly, the first episode where Mal hears those ships coming down and realizes it's the Alliance and he loses his faith. Like the cross drops.
I'm imagining now you sitting at home watching this on probably your computer, and and just as you're watching, your face turns to stone and all the hope drains from you, and for some reason there's a guy standing right beside you that gets shot about 8 times.
Yeah, and don't forget the violin, man.
Don't forget the violin. Is that? Oh, see that's like your mental image for a shark jumping, isn't it?
That's how I feel when a shark.
That's how
jumps.
You feel when a shark or when someone jumps one.
And
sharks don't actually jump in that metaphor. We should be clear.
And I'll say this. That scene in Gotham, they didn't just jump the shark. They jumped over the shark and still managed to somehow like stick their dick in the shark's ear hole while they went over.
Oh, come on! Like, we knew the shark jumping had already happened. Like, they threw fish into a river connected to seawater. There was probably a shark in there. She just got tossed right over it.
Right. Right. And even the shark was like, why are you not dead from that gut?
Right. I'm not eating this shit. There's shrapnel in the whole thing. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. So there's this new promo that introduces Silver St. Cloud. Theo, Galavan, and Bruce Wayne are having lunch, it would appear, mm-hmm. and because Bruce wanted to properly thank him for saving his life. But Bruce is, as 14-year-old boys will be, distracted by a pretty girl playing in the fountain outside, and we find out that Theo just adopted her. He was he is her uncle.
Oh, thank
and
God.
Is as he says it, his brother was her father, and his brother died, so he has adopted Silver, and they will be going to prep school together. Now she talks real weird. She talks real weird because they go and they actually meet in the promo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, would you like to meet her? And he's like, yes, I would. And they go and meet. And she's talking about, she's like, oh, you've been there before. And he's like, well, I've been homeschooled, so I'm virtually new. And she's like, then we shall brave it together.
Mm-hmm.
It was real weird. And I kind of don't.
Well, look, she was going to be boring for me the entire time, and I had been thinking, I had mentioned this to even privately to you. I had been thinking the entire last few days, man, the only way you could possibly make St. Cloud interesting is if she was like sent in by Theo to fuck Bruce Wayne up.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we may be.
Here we may be.
That would be nice. Oh,
quick little bit. It happened a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't really mention it, but I thought it would be funny to mention anyway. I saw it earlier. Mm-hmm. Sean Pertwee says he would be honored to play his dad's version of the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Nice.
Although he thinks his dad would crack up over the idea of it.
Yeah.
He says he's just talking about it. He's laughing, thinking about what his dad's reaction would be to it.
Call your dad up. So guess what part I got?
Right. A couple more bits of news here. Mm-hmm. From Supergirl.
There is Supergirl
Chris
news?
Vance. There is Supergirl news.
I meant to mention this. If it feels like we've been lacking in Supergirl news, that's not our disappointment. No, we're doing our job. There just is no fucking news. Every now and then they'll say there's a cast, and then the rest of it's just like the actual cast that we already knew being excited about the show. That's the news.
Yeah, it's like literally like Calista Flockhart's sitting around going like, oh, I mean, you know, the mythos and
right.
blah, blah, blah.
And they've done
a part of the cast. And
a ton of interviews with, what's his name, Makai Brooks?
Yeah.
Tons of interviews with this kid. I don't know. There's just no real news.
I mean, there was at some point where he said, like, I remember an interview where he was like saying, it may have just happened at New York Comic Con. He was like, oh, you know, like the Jimmy Olsen is the audience proxy. And most of the time when people see me, they don't think Jimmy Olsen because we don't really look alike. But I'm hoping to bring some of my own personality to the role. I mean, that's not news.
No, that's a fine take and I wish him well, but it's not news. No one's dropped, you know, flipper hands anywhere. We'd have found them.
I mean, there are a few hundred racist, raging fanboys who are pissed off and realize that he doesn't look like Jimmy Olsen. I got nothing for that. I don't care. Whatever.
Not one damn. He's not one single damn.
Like, I don't know. There is a part of me that thinks he might be too buff to be Jimmy Olsen. Like, I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Right.
But
you're not going to buy, like, no, this is the guy that Superman protect. It looks like he could beat up somebody that was hurting Superman. What are you worried about?
Right. I'm pretty sure he's about 3 feet taller than Henry Cavill.
I don't think he needs the little wristwatch for anyone to save him. He looks like he's going to be fine.
Right. Right. He wound up giving Superman in this continuity an Elastic Boy signal watch.
Right. They just, somewhere, yeah. Superman, when you need me. Here's the watch.
Now,
how will you be able to hear the watch? It'll emit a signal that only my kind of grace and calm can hear.
Right.
Me and the Dosakis guy. We're the only two people that can hear it.
Oh, well, it's simple, Superman. My six pack will vibrate. My abdominal sense is tingling.
He's just looking, like, every now and then he's in the mirror just glancing. Ooh, I seem to have grown a new back muscle. Trouble is in the area. Surely this muscle will aid me in my quest.
Oh. Gotta admit, I wasn't...
If this fails, let's just do our show. Like, if Supergirl's off the air next year, let's pitch that.
Right. Oh.
What if Jimmy Olsen saved everyone with his six-pack? Tell me more!
All right. They are adding Toy Man to their villain roster girl. And, you know, they aren't ignoring the fact that Jeremy Jordan's character, when shot, is, carries the name of the Toy Man. Right. But they're saying the Toy Man and Jeremy Jordan's character will have, there will be a relationship between those characters. So, I don't know exactly what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were going for there. I don't really care. Yeah. Toy Man's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And in at least the Justice League Unlimited version, downright creepy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, the Superman animated series version is just so disturbing.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of Mad Hatter to him. I guess like a little bit of Trickster. He's kind of in the middle of some of those characters, but there's this definite kind of.
He's just completely monotone, like with a lilting little voice. Just
yeah,
he's got that big doll head.
Yeah, which is off-putting.
Ugh.
Yeah, and there's this kind of predatorial, rapey feel to him at all times.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
they're gonna make him some dude that's like a salesman at Macy's.
A salesman at Macy's.
Yeah, he's got to run the toy department at Macy's.
No, he runs the karaoke bar.
Right.
Oh gosh. So, anywho, I think we're gonna call it on this episode of DC On Screen. We are DC On Screen. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com as well as iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. If you would like a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at mcucast.com. Tomorrow, I am going to be recording a review of the latest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode with Matt Carroll, as Jeff is going to be out. So I'm going to be guesting on that show, so go check that out as well. It should be up in the next couple of days.
They'll be talking about how Fitz is a card-carrying badass these days.
Oh, he is. He is.
That is
so
not a man to be trifled with.
So, yeah, about the time you're listening to this, there might be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. review, and you can hear me talk about some Marvel stuff with Matt. It'll be fun. Until next week, keep some DC on your screen.